Hello, dishers. Welcome back to a brand new piping hot episode of The Dish with Tish. How we doing? How y'all doing? How we holding up? You know, like, what's going on? What's the tea? How are y'all feeling? You know, I'm not going to lie. Last week, I was down bad. I think I was just PMSing post-Cowboy Carter. I was in it some kind of way, but I feel rejuvenated and so back. My cup floweth over, and I hope you guys are feeling good. And if you're not, by the end of this episode, I guarantee you're going to be full. Your heart's going to be full. Your mind's going to be full. And your soul, it's going to be full. Because there's so much to discuss that I've literally been dying to talk to you guys about. So I'm just going to get into it because there's literally so much to talk about. And you may notice this little accent that I've got. And that's because, well, in true Love Island fashion, a bombshell just entered the chat. And it's given, I got a text. And you better believe it's time to dish, because JoJo Siwa and Chris Hughes are Instagram official. We got a hard launch, honey, by both of them. Both of them posted on their Instagrams of each other. Very cutesy. They're very cute together. And one of our followers sent a message that literally sent me. And they were like, this is a trans mass canon event of dating the man you want to be. And that really, I was like, oh, high key, very that. It's almost like JoJo was emulating Chris Hughes for most of her, like, since she's come out. And her style and all of that. And if you don't know who Chris Hughes is, for my Americanos who don't watch the OG Love Island, Chris Hughes was on season 3 of Love Island. And I'm going to say the best season of all time. I'm going to say that with my whole chest. I mean, Love Island US, it's in my top 3. I'm going to say Love Island UK season 3, Love Island UK season 2, and Love Island US last season that's like my top 3, really, because I got into it. I've been watching Love Island UK since season 2, honey. So for all you folks that are new around here, again, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. This is my fucking shit. And I'm so glad that I could have these conversations with people like who know because of Love Island US. And it's become kind of the standard now. People are excited. I'm like, honestly, I've been excited about Love Island. Like summer, for me, summer is Love Island. Summer is my best friend / editor, her birthday, okay? And fucking Love Island UK. Like and now Love Island US, because after last season, it was so good. So yes, Chris Hughes was on Love Island UK. He actually won his season. And we're definitely going to talk about Love Island next week, because it starts next week and I'm literally buzzing, babes. I'm so excited. I don't even know what to do with myself. It's really insane, but I don't know. I think they're kind of cute in a weird way. I think, you know, I saw them on Big Brother UK together. And it was definitely a vibe. At first, it was like, oh, maybe Big Brother, little sister. But then it just took a turn and it was like, oh, no, this is like a vibe. And poor Kath Ebbs having to witness this and go through like the public humiliation of flying out there for the rap party, getting dumped, and then kind of seeing it paraded all over the media. It is definitely a bummer, but you know, Love Island, they do it differently, especially UK shows in general. Like even the celebrity Big Brother over there, they just are very more, I feel like we're almost more prudish. Like over there, they are cursing, they are fucking, they are really like going there. Whereas over here, it's definitely a little more demure, more mindful. Whereas they let it rip in the UK. So I have always favored their shows in that sense because they're not afraid to take the piss. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I just am curious to see how their relationship unfolds. If it's, you know, end game, you never know. Because I do feel like a Love Island kind of person, the relationships, another reason, and I'm gonna be talking about Love Island. Y'all better buckle up because it's just getting started, honey. We are just getting into it. But a big reason why Love Island, the success rate is so high is because you can't help but be with the person. You know, they're not left to their devices. They're just together. And the same thing with Big Brother, which in a way I do kind of think solidified their bond and their connection because they didn't have their phones. You know, dating nowadays is truly behind a screen. You know, it's pretty much through apps and sending texts and all of that. And when you're on a show like Big Brother or Love Island, you don't have that luxury. So you can't help but connect and bond with each other. So I could see them being together for a little bit. And I'm here for it. And we also, speaking of Love Island, we got the US cash drop. Very excited. I am literally counting down the days, you guys. June 3rd is not getting here soon enough. Oh my God. And also, shout out to Hannah and Marco from Love Island US who got engaged. What a great engagement drop to do it the same day as the cast drop announcement. Chef's kiss. It was so beautiful. They are truly such a cute, cute couple. And, you know, they have been through a lot of adversity recently. Hannah lost her father, and the proposal was just so adorable. Definitely, if you're a Love Island fan, you should check it out on their Instagram page. Hannah M. Wright, I believe, is her handle. And Marco, I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's something Italiano. But it's very, very cute. And I literally love that for them. It's so, so sweet. Very, very excited about that. And from one love reality show to another, we got some Love is Blind updates too. We've got some baby announcements and some divorces. So we'll start with the negative. We'll start with the divorcing Matt and Colleen, which, I mean, honestly, only stood. I was waiting for that. I genuinely was just like, okay, next. Because it was kind of the writing was on the wall with that one. I did not see that really standing the test of time, unfortunately. I hope that it is amicable and it's not messy for both their sakes, because it seems like Matt was a little controlling of her. So I'm sure we'll get a Vile Files episode soon with one of them saying their side of the story. And Ashley and Tyler, aka Lyler, that's what everyone calls him on the internet, Lyler. They are officially donezo, like officially, officially. And honestly, good riddance. Ashley is such a baddie, an all-around amazing woman. I was kind of like, oh, I was so annoyed that she even went through with it with him, because I was like, you are a queen. Please do not settle for this man. But I'm glad she took the blinders off. No pun intended. She took the blinders off, and love was not there. Clock that T. But in good news, we've got some baby announcements. AD, who was on Love Island. Girl, I'm still talking about Love Island. AD, who was on Love is Blind US, has been with Ollie, who was on Love is Blind UK, have been together for some time. And I love AD, another baddie who was just so disrespected by the guy that she was with. He was so immature and not on her level at all. And the way that this guy, Ollie, looks at her truly just melts my heart. Do you ever see those couples where the man is just looking at the woman like, fuck, like, I can't believe you're mine? Like, the way he looks at her is just so cute. And they had the cutest reveal that they're having a baby. And I love that for them. I think that that is, oh, it's just so good. It's just so sweet. Oh, and our favorite couple, at least my, I'm gonna speak for myself. My favorite love, again, why I'm still talking about Love Island? It's on my brain, you guys. Ooh, and the names are similar. Love Island, you say Love Island, I say Love is Blind. You don't know what's on my mind. Let's not forget our favorite couple, Lauren and Cameron from Love is Blind. First season, OGs, are having a baby. And I am so fucking happy for them. They are just so great. And we had a clear blue little promo. I love that. Okay. Getting paid to announce the best thing that's ever happened to you. Period. Yes. I'm here for it. And I love them. I'm so happy for them. I know that they've been trying pretty much since they got married. And I think it's perfect timing. Now things have settled. They're really comfortable with each other and like the lives that they've built. So it just seems like a good time for them to be bringing in a new member to their family. And that baby's gonna be so cute. Oh my God, it's gonna be a cute little fluorescent beige light skin baby. Oh, I love it for them. I'm so excited. So excited. And speaking of love, there's so much love. Oh my God. Our girl Demi Lovato got married over the weekend. Shout out to Demi. She has been searching for love in all the wrong places for so long, and she found it in her emo, hot ass, punk, tatted man. And something I really loved about their ceremony I was reading is that typically the ceremony, when it comes to the vows, the man recites his first. But instead of doing that, they rock, paper, scissored to see who would go first. And I just thought that was so cute. I don't know. Weddings are so like by the book. It's so traditional. So I appreciate when people put their own spin on it, to make it theirs, to make it personal. I love weddings that do that. And it just shows that they're a fun couple. So congrats to Demi. We love you, girl. I'm just so happy for her. And it feels very full circle for her. And yeah, it's very, very cute. Okay, so now we're gonna get into some annoying stuff, because I had to start with the good stuff, because I know I've been starting with the Diddy stuff for a few weeks. And honestly, I did not have time to really dig into the Diddy trial this week, but I will hit y'all with some of that. I might even write a piece on it, because honestly, let me just say the feedback that I've gotten from the article that I wrote had me crying yesterday. You guys just showing so much love and just knowing that I'm not alone in this, and even the people who aren't Black women who reached out to me and reposted and shared. It just really means a lot to me. So I appreciate that. Writing is something I've always loved doing. It's really been my bag. I mean, I with the writing, producing, all the comedy stuff, and I've written pilots and things like that as well. So it's just a part of self-expression for me. So I'm definitely going to be leaning in to that on the Substack. So if you are not there, you're only getting half the story, honey. Wow, it's so funny. I just feel so like not talking about Diddy. I'm like, I'm one oink. Not to sing Katy Perry, like, you're like an Indian summer and middle of winter. Have you guys seen that TikTok? I'm sure you have. That is killing me. That's like most of my algorithm right now. It's just people lip syncing that part of the song, and it really is geeking me out. Okay. So the Chrisleys, y'all know about the Chrisleys. See, now I'm switching accents because now we're talking about the Chrisleys. Chrisleys got pardoned by You heard me right. The man who couldn't file taxes himself pardoned two people who literally went to jail for not paying taxes. So that's pretty crazy. And I really wanted to talk about, I mean, let me say, this podcast is a retreat from the outside world and the chaos and the fucked up shit that is happening every day by these politicians and these lawmakers. So I really try not to talk about him, but this is something that I felt I had to because it's such a big thing, and it's kind of like a trifecta. It's crime, it's reality TV, and it's pop culture. So I'm like, we kind of have to address the lavender marriage in the room. So if you don't know, Chrisley Knows Best is a very popular reality show, but I will be transparent in saying it was never on my watch list. It was always on Bravo for some reason. Like, even though it was technically a USA show, it was the USA show, but it was always on Bravo. I think it's because it's under the NBC Universal umbrella. I know my mom loved it. Before she knew they were right-wing criminals, she watched them all the time because it was always replaying. And I'd be like, girl, why are you watching this? So from the outside, like I said, this is a lavender marriage because Chris is Todd Chrisley, honey, honey. This man is gay. Allegedly. I'll say allegedly because I'm not trying to get sued. But girl, the call is coming from Boys Town. Okay. Girl, let's be fucking for real. The call is coming from Drag Race. It's coming from RuPaul. But yeah, I think he's a preacher. He's a God-fearing man. And I know they have adopted kids. And this is just like an outsider's POV. I know their daughter was on that Special Forces show with Tom Sandoval. And bring it back to JoJo Siwa. So that's another cultural connection. So their family did Chrisley Knows Best, and they were found guilty of conspiring to defraud community banks for more than $30 million in fraudulent loans and committing tax evasion. So Todd was sentenced to 12 years in prison, and Julie received a 7-year sentence. And they began serving the sentences in January of 2023. And granted a full unconditional pardon for both of them. So they might be out by now. By the time we're recording this, they are probably outside. I think I did see a picture of Julie with like the hair is gone, like they are both bleach blonde. And she had like dark hair, like the roots were fully out. And I personally feel like celebrities who do heinous crimes like that, if they are released from prison, we should get an after mugshot because I want to see like how you really look. You know what I mean? I want to see you when the filler wears off, when the extensions are out, when the roots have grown. I want to see what your ass looks like when all that shit has shifted in your fucking face. And I don't know if y'all have seen Todd Chrisley or not, but honey, the filler is filling. The filler is filling like a fucking PB&J Uncrustable. And you know, Jen Shah and Tiger King are like, where am I next? Karen Huger's like, am I next? Can he let me out? They're like MAGA. No, I couldn't see Karen being like that. Tiger King, I know he's already tried it. Jen Shah, I don't know. I can't really see her doing that, especially because she got black kids and a black husband. And I don't think Coach Shaw would be like down for that. And she's almost out too. Same with Karen. Like, I couldn't see them going that route of trying to kiss his ass for a pardon. But speaking of kissing his ass for a pardon, you guys, I have a feeling. So with the Diddy stuff, he did not take the plea deal. He pleaded, you know, not guilty. I feel that this nigga is going to be convicted and either do a mistrial, try to appeal, or he's gonna try to get a pardon from Trump. There's actually a Rolling Stone article that kind of supports this that came out earlier this month, and the headline was Sean Combs' allies are actively working for a pardon. Longtime Combs associates have spent months cozying up to officials to lay the groundwork for clemency. And I mean, they're both native New Yorkers. They ran, like, they're not friends, but they definitely obviously run in the same social circles of the 1%. So during the presidential transition and the opening months of Trump's second administration, several longtime friends and allies of Combs, who have known the rapper for many years, have been reaching out to and administration officials, as well as other close friends to the president. So basically, Rolling Stone was able to talk to someone, but they wanted to be anonymous. And they said he's willing to do anything to get out of jail. And the source also said that he's always been this way. He's going to do what he has to do to get out of the situation. And he doesn't even like. I don't know. I don't want to claim that, put that out in the universe, but I have a feeling just seeing how these people are being pardoned, you know, Chris Chrisley, NBA young boy, not Chris Chrisley, that's the New Jersey governor, girl. That big man ain't in jail. The Chrisleys, you know, I could see it happening. I can see it happening. So we will be tuned into that. Something else that bummed me out this week. Justin Bieber at the SZA show. Woof. So I was gonna write something about it, but I'm just like, let me just talk my shit. Have a little stream of consciousness with my dishers right here, right now. If you haven't seen this clip of Justin Bieber showed up at a SZA show and he is clearly inebriated, like can barely keep his head up. She has to physically lift his head up. Like I was uncomfortable watching it. And some of the comments are like, Oh my God, he loves her. Fuck Haley. He just wants to be with a black woman, blah, blah. And they're like romanticizing this. And I'm like, what? Huh? Are we looking at the same clip? No, I don't think we are, because this is not a white man infatuated with a black woman. This is a crisis. Okay. Like, this is a man who was potentially like, it almost seems like he was realizing that he was really fucked up. Like he was on another plane, like more fucked up when he wanted to be. Have you ever had that moment? Like, have you ever took an edible or smoked a little bit and you're like, oh, I did not mean to get this high. How do I come down to that? And at one point, SZA grabs his face and you could tell that's her grounding him. She's grounding him with her hand. And I think this was an actual physical come down from whatever was going on with him. And she's grabbing him at one point too, to make sure he physically got him onto the spot for mechanical departure, because I think they were like moving on the stage. There was something going on. And it's just really weird to me that as a community that we have, like, people are just so focused on in that video that it's a white man infatuated with a black woman. And there people are like, oh, they're vibing. Like, how do we not see what's going on here? Like, this is clearly, at least to me, this is someone who is truly unwell. And he has been unwell for quite some time. Like, this man is singing, but he is not singing the words correctly at the right time. And SZA, fellow Scorpio queen, we are given that healer energy. We are trying to reel people in and be a safe space for people, especially when they're on the deep end right now. And people have sexualized it in this really bizarre way that doesn't need to happen. And she is seeing it in real time. Like, this is something fucked up happening to my friend in front of a large crowd, in front of thousands of people. So, regardless of whether they're cheering for him or not, it was just her moment to say, like, we got to get through this. We got to get through this. And that's what she was doing. I didn't see the sexualization in that at all. And I just wish, like, I don't know, as a collective, we could just be better with interpreting things like that. He's actively going through it in front of us. I just feel like he is just not well. Even today, he posted something like congratulating Chris Brown for getting out of jail. Another fucking douchebag that I, an abuser. And he was like congratulating him for getting out of jail because he was apprehended when he went to London because he had a warrant out for his arrest for a bar fight that he got into a few years ago. People need to surround Justin with like love and support. And I feel like when you're surrounded by yes people constantly who are just trying to appease you and make you happy, and you don't have anyone to be like, girl, what the fuck is going on? Like, did you see yourself out there? You are not right. Like, this is not okay. I'm sure that his wife is supportive and she wants the best for him as well. And she's got her own shit going on too. They have a baby. I don't know. I feel like with Justin, I think the child star is catching up to him. And I honestly think when he had the baby, when him and Haley had their son, that was also around the time of the Diddy trial, like all of that unfolding. And I think that he is having some really tough realizations of some things that happened to him and him not being taken of properly. And he could possibly be leaning into drugs and alcohol, self-medicating to deal with all of those emotions. Because I'm sure it was already bubbling at the surface. And then when you become a parent yourself, it completely hits different because now you have a little one that you're taking care of. And I pray for him. I really, really do. But meanwhile, Haley, just sold Rhode Beauty for $1 billion to Elf Cosmetics. So like they gonna be good. They will be good. And shout out to her because the craziest part is she's still keeping her position as CEO of Rhode Beauty, and she gained a high level advisor position at Elf now as well. So kudos to her. That is pretty cunty. So take that money and take care of your man, honey, please. Because I'm worried. I really am so worried about him. I'm like, he's freaking me out. Like, I am real close to unfollowing him. And speaking of that, this is a story about a girl named Lucky. No, but we are going to talk about Britney Spears, someone who I love so much, but I had to unfollow her on Instagram because it bummed me out to no end. Just like her posts and like the dancing. Once she started dancing with them knives, I was like, I love her so much, but I do have to check out. I cannot support this because I feel like I'm enabling her with this behavior, you know? So last week, Britney admitted to lighting a cigarette on a flight. I just, chow, chow, chow. She says it was nothing. She's like, it's no big deal. Somebody on the plane notified the authorities because she lit up a cigarette on the fucking plane. No shit. And I'm like, girl, what? Like, oh my God. So let's go through this and see if we can make any sense of it. On May 22nd, it appears that Britney lit a cigarette, the violation of federal aviation regulations, before putting it out at the request of the flight attendants on the charter plane. However, the singer recounted the events of the flight and the aftermath from her point of view on an Instagram post. And this is what she wrote on her Instagram. Me yesterday, I'm gonna say where her little accent, me yesterday is actually incredibly funny. So it's a bunch of explanation points. Me yesterday, explanation point, explanation point. It's actually incredibly funny, explanation point, explanation point. Some planes I've been on, you can't smoke mostly, but this one was different because the drink holders were on the outside of the seat. Explanation point, explanation point. Confession, it was my first time drinking vodka. Vodka, all caps, explanation points. I swear, I felt so smart. Smart, all caps, eye roll emoji, thinking emoji, crying, laughing, explanation points. I was like, wow, what the heck is in there? I felt so clear and so smart. And I said, I want a cigarette so bad. Explanation points. My friend put it in my mouth and lit, fire emoji, it up for me. So I was like, all caps, oh, so this is a plane where you can smoke? I do so apologize to anyone I offended, but the flight attendants always make sure I'm way at the back of the plane, anyways. Shrugging emojis. I thought officials greeted me as support, and I was like, wow, I feel special. Explanation points. I've never been to an international airport. Crying, laughing emojis. Explanation points. Am I famous or something? Question mark, question mark, question mark. The flight attendant called officials because I smoked a cigarette and embarrassed me, which, geez, I thought was kind of much. But she didn't like me the moment I got on the plane. Nobody was on the plane for the first 20 minutes, and she wouldn't let me get out of my seat, and I wanted to stand up. She acted so weird about making sure I sat down, and it was weird. I didn't like the way she put the seatbelt on me and invaded my space. Oh, well, you guys like my flower choker? Be Tiny is coming soon, and that's something we have added. It's honestly adorable. End scene. Wow. I'm like waiting for Nathan Fielder to be like, you know what? Like it's giving rehearsal. I'm like, is this real life? Oh, leave Britney alone. But also, I'm like, we need to support Britney. Someone, I know she's free, you know, she doesn't have the conservatorship, but babe, why are you smoking on a plane? And even if it's a private, no, unless it's your plane, you should not be smoking on the plane. And I'm also like, who the fuck is your friend to put the cigarette in your mouth and light it? That's not your friend, babe. That's not your friend. This is what I'm saying. These yes people who just want to be basically hired friends. It's like they don't care about your well-being or how you're doing. Yes, vodka make you feel clear and smart at first, but girl, it's gonna make you feel goofy as hell at the end. You know, like she's 40, what, 43 years old? If you've never had vodka before, I think you should high key keep it that way. Like get a White Claw, get a Truly, even a fucking Lover Boy or something, girl. Not vodka. So I hope that that don't turn into a whole thing. So prayers up for Britney, child. Oh, girl. So from one Britney mess to another, Britney Bateman from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City has a headline that I wanted to share. She's technically not a housewife, she's a friend of, but this was kind of tea. And also, they're filming right now. So I'm like, I wonder if this is going to come into the show. It's definitely high key giving Lisa Barlow all over it. And I could already hear her being like, I did not say that. I did not. No, I no, I would never. I don't say anything to the press. Are you kidding me? My son's a missionary. Okay. Like I'm a mother. I've got my company. I didn't leak this. So according to Daily Mail, Britney Bateman has been accused of not paying back $100,000 to her former mother-in-law in a new civil lawsuit. Sandra Underwood, Britney's ex, John Scott Underwood, filed a lawsuit against the 53-year-old earlier this month for alleging not holding up a prior agreement, which the reality star agreed to return $100,000 during time of need in the complaint exclusively obtained by the Daily Mail. Sandra, 87. Fuck. Damn. Oh, no wonder she ailing, child. She, oh, one foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peel. Why are you taking money from an 87-year-old, Brady? Damn. Apparently, Sandra, 87 years old, accuses Britney of using $100,000 for her own personal benefit. The money was deposited into a trust fund, of which Britney was named as a trustee back in 2021. Why did I say it like that? 2021, 2021. That was so weird. I had like a mind fuck. The complaint states that Britney willfully and maliciously and intentionally did fraudulent conduct. Yeah, so it looks like basically Sandra gave her $100,000. Sandra also contributed $217,000 to help Britney get her dream home. It's a 6-bedroom, 7-bathroom, 2 kitchens. A massive property with a casita as well. And this woman's almost 90 years old and allegedly just needs money because she does not have the sufficient income to pay for independent living or cover cost of her medical care and prescriptions for her health issues. And her lawyer requested that Brittany have the simple decency and morality to pay back the $100,000 so that Sandra could live out her life in a semi-comfortable way. but not hearing back from Britney or her lawyer, he filed the complaint less than 2 months later. Man, wow. This gonna be bad for Britney. That's yikes on bikes, bro. That's fucked up. And it's crazy because I believe she claims to be a triple threat singer, actor, dancer, and now she also has a job as a real estate agent. I believe she was on that Selling SLC show. TBH, I didn't watch it. I got enough on my plate. I was not really interested in it, but I believe she's on that show and she's working on that. So to have the gall, the gumption to take money from an ailing old lady is pretty fucked, if you ask me. But we're gonna take a detour from the Bravo Mormons. And I know last week one of my courses was The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I am reeling from this season. It was crazy. It's so much because they put the whole season out as Hulu does. And at least from my POV, we're so fascinated by getting this front row seat of Mormon culture to see these women experience it on a level of chaos that we just have not really experienced before. You know, like I say, I'm a fan of the show in the sense that for me, it's funny to watch these women try to justify their actions by essentially, they're basically cosplaying as progressive women. Most of them are so the only two that are not are Miranda, the new girl, so fucking with her down, and Layla, the black one. So they're basically, yeah, just pretending to be progressive while being so misogynistic and hypercritical. So I basically just it's comedic entertainment. And Megan, my lovely bestie and editor, we were talking about this, and I was saying that this show just brings a different level of drama to me because it doesn't feel performative. And the craziest thing to me of it all is that they're fucking sober. That, like, Mormons don't drink. The fact that these bitches are sober and they are going in like this, oh my God. They're like, okay, Britney Spears needs vodka to light a cigarette on a plane. I'm dead ass sober and I'm popping the fuck off. And I'm like, imagine if there was alcohol involved. It's honestly really fucking impressive that they let it rip like this completely dead ass sober. And, you know, they take it so seriously and they're so, I have to watch with a satirical lens, you know? It's like no matter how big or small the problem is, the way that these girls come for each other, I mean, they come guns fully loaded. Like, someone get Lee Harvey Oswald because it's an assassination. Okay, it's a character assassination. They just, like, obviously, this show has become their livelihood, right? You know, and it's taken over in a way. It's so popular. It's the number one show right now. And when they were filming season one, the relationships are so easily breakable and flimsy, with the exception of Michaela and Macy. I do appreciate that their friendship, but there's not really any friendship that reflects any level of like real loyalty or any kind of depth. They are so in deep with one another, yet a huge part of the story is they are constantly each other's ops. You know, like I've never watched a show where it's like flip flop, flip it, flip flop it ass bitch. Girl. Usually it's like a season, you kind of see it happening over time, right? It's like, oh, it's breaking, it's breaking, it's breaking. Like Atlanta right now, a perfect example. Shamia and Portia, it's slowly happening. Whereas this show, every episode, it's a different dynamic. It's a different group of people together. And that is so entertaining to watch because, again, we don't really. I've been watching reality TV for a long time. I've seen a lot, and you really don't see that dynamic a lot of just the flip-flopping. Girl, the way that they react to each other as if their friendships are so deep, and one of them does something that the other perceives as wrong, but at the end of the day, they're really just moms who are making content together. You know, but in their mind, like that is the core value of their friendship. But the thing missing is like actual depth to the relationship. And they're so willing to just switch it up on each other. It's just crazy. In real time, right now, Jesse has Demi blocked on all social media. Like they are not on any sort of remotely good terms. And that's a huge shift because they were besties. And basically, they talk about it a lot on the show. Demi was pretty much down for Jesse to be kicked off the show if it meant for her to make more money, which nobody else was down for at all. But when Jesse explains it more in depth on the Vile Files, which she was on, she essentially says that this was a group phone call with agents and lawyers that happened before the season even aired. And Jesse had a Zoom, so she joined and agreed that they were going to say that, you know, power in numbers, right? It's very much, you know, giving the Friends cast was the first one to really solidly say, if we're not all making this amount of money, then we're not fucking doing this. And, Jesse joins the call and she hears Demi, I can't remember if it was Demi or Brett, say that, you know, they were basically like, she can go. And she chimed in and was like, I'm not walking. And it was just, I don't know. Imagine working with your best friend. I mean, I work with my best friend right now. Like, she's my editor in chief. Okay. And I couldn't imagine being like, oh, well, if I get more money, like say I get Spotify calls me and it's like, hey, I'm gonna give you this deal. You know, like I couldn't imagine being like, oh, well, if she's not here, can you give me more money? Like that's actually f so fucked. And, you know, Demi is saying, you know, Jesse and Taylor just want to be on the show for fame and trying to basically say that they're not good because they want to be on the show for fame. And I'm like, what the fuck else are you on a reality show for if it's not for a paycheck and to get some notoriety? So for her trying to imply that they're using the show, I'm like, baby, that's what the show is for. I don't understand the point that you're trying to make here. And, you know, I just feel like Demi really let the fan favorite talk get to her head. And I gotta say, I honestly don't even remember what made her such a favorite. Like, I truly forgot a lot of the first season and the dynamics between them. And, I feel like a part of it was that she seemed like a trustworthy narrator, and even the way she was with Brittany and standing up for the girls and all of that. Like, I was like, okay, she's about it. And now it's a complete 180. She's probably one of the most untrustworthy people on the show right now. Last season was so heavily focused on the relationships between the girls and their partners versus this season, the drama is between the girls. Even with Taylor, I mean, watching that scene with her family made me literally sick to my stomach. I had a moment where I was like, Is this fucking for real? Again, it's Nathan Fielder here. Is this fucking for real? Like, am I hearing this correctly? Did her stepdad just say, wait a second, what does that say about you? I know they're but I was like, let me get to Utah and tell this man what the fuck is up. Because it was just so disgusting. Like, could you imagine your fucking dad, your father figure saying something like that to you? No, it's one of those things that I don't know, it needs to be spoken about, but also at the same time, it just factually is just so, this is such a gross thing for him to say to her. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason that Taylor is such a underdog and people want to support her and you have so much empathy for her. Your heart breaks for her so much at times. It's because you have these moments where you're seeing her be so hard on herself and she can't forgive herself, and there's so much self-shame and loathing there. And then you see the way that the people closest to her feed into that, like her own fucking family, who she seems to have a very close relationship with. You know, her mom is in a lot of scenes. Leanne, very often with her new face popping up. And, you know, we see her sister and her brother at the barbecue, and she's very close with them. And also at the same time, like, they're super close with Dakota as well. Like, Dakota, her baby daddy, and her stepdad are like best friends and buddy buddy and have these really corny ass nicknames for each other and shit. And I don't think anyone is considering what that's doing to Taylor. And the show is just so heavy in misogyny. I'm like, okay, y'all are trying to take down the patriarchy, but you're replacing the patriarchy with misogyny. So, like, it's still fucking there. The patriarchy's still winning in Mom Talk. Sorry, girl. It's hate to break it to you. I just feel like her mom will come to her defense sometimes. You know, her mom is willing to go toe to toe. She's willing to call Whitney and say, why didn't you come to her baby shower? Why didn't you come on the first season? And then, you know, the second season, she's going toe to toe with Demi, like, don't talk about my daughter. And, you know, you just have so much empathy for Taylor because it's almost like you realize she's not only fighting this battle with herself, she's also fighting for acceptance and to be viewed in a certain way by the people in theory who should love her unconditionally. And I do think a part of it is Leanne, her mother, almost resents her success. I feel like a lot of the, like, Demi definitely, and her mom, I feel like they resent Taylor's success, especially because it spawned from the swinging scandal and all of that. And I think, yeah, they want what she has. But the hate to break it to you, you'll never be Taylor. Taylor is one of the best reality TV personalities ever because she is willing to put it all out there. We'll see how long she stays this open and vulnerable, but that's a big reason why. I mean, there would be no Mom Talk without Taylor, Frankie, Paul, period. And then we've got Jen and Zach. Jen Affleck and Zach Affleck. Affleck. Oh, God. The Jen and Zach of it all. Let's go back for a second because I do feel like season one Zach, I mean, I truly kind of, I knew he was an asshole. I knew he was public enemy number one, but I'm willing to give him some props, credit where credit is due, and I appreciate him taking some accountability and him calling out how gross and unacceptable some of his behavior was at the time. But I'm not here for the narrative of the redemption arc that they're trying to paint for him. And I don't believe a person can entirely transform and evolve and change their internal belief systems in such a short amount of time. Like, no, people aren't capable of, I'm not saying that people aren't capable of change, but I don't think that a person did a complete 180 in less than a year. And, I think we have to remember that he was fucking awful last season, but there was some improvement. Perhaps Jen was not telling the truth all the time. Jen was spitting the truth in certain instances that instead of acknowledging that for what it was, it had a direct effect on the way that everyone was viewing Zach. And I'm like, well, if Jen does this, then maybe he doesn't suck as much. But then I was like, wait a second, both of these things can be true. Like, they can both be a little bit off in different ways. She can bend the truth, and he can also be an asshole. She may not be the most honest person, but he also deeply sucked. And I feel like they were reacting as if they were only viewing through what Janet told them about him. And once they started to see things about Jen, they were like, whoa, that kind of caused them to question everything that she's ever said. But that's not what's happening. I'm like, you guys read all those text messages with the whole Chippendales of it all. We saw how he was reacting. We also saw, before they even went to Vegas, how he was acting about the Chippendales. So these things factually happened and they were all terrible. So I don't see how these things that potentially were true or her own shortcomings that could have been improved upon then translate to, oh, maybe Zach's not that bad of a guy. Like, yeah, maybe this season, but what he did last season and the way that he reacts, that was just not the tea. And then we have fucking Demi and Jesse having a sit down with him. I'm like, girl, what? I knew this was gonna be bad. Like, Jesse's interview on the Vile Files was crazy when Jesse was talking about kind of the way that she was towards Jen and maybe some of her actions that she regrets. Jen is 24, 25 years old. She's got two kids, a third on the way. Give her some grace. Like, oh my God, her frontal lobe is not even developed, and this bitch has three kids under three. Come on, like y'all knew that this was fucked up and the dynamic between her and her husband was not good. And the Chippendales thing, I don't know. I just felt like the Chippendales thing was just really, really nasty and almost like bully-like behavior because it's y'all knew that this almost broke up their marriage. This literally was such a sore spot. And who the fuck are y'all to come in on your high horses and do this publicly? I don't know. I feel like Jen probably said, oh, sure, that's haha funny. Not expecting it to be in front of the whole party, in front of her husband. That's the last thing she needed on camera. I really thought that was some nasty, nasty work. It's not that she didn't take accountability, but she also really made it as though she was just kind of following Demi's lead. And it was more like, saying that she was going along with this. And I was like, okay, girl, like, I do like Jessie. I think that she's messy as fuck. Like that Halloween party, diabolical. But if it's between Demi and Jesse, I'm going to choose Jesse. But I'm like, girl, you are a grown woman. You are a mother. You have a business empire. Like, I'm not gonna believe that excuse that you were just following Demi's lead. Like, you gotta come up with something a little better than that. I mean, I do think that she kind of had that realization when Jen left the show. That she was like, okay, I'm going to give her some grace. Like, she's obviously down bad, and Demi obviously leaned into being just an asshole to her. And I just thought that that was really nasty. I mean, Demi kind of got her karma. A, first off, the pregnancy roulette thing was fucking crazy. Talk about diabolical. That was so fucked up. I was like, oh my God. I did feel bad for her. That sucked for her. That's the only time I genuinely like felt aw for Demi this whole season. Just to go back to the point, like, these aren't true, genuine friendships within this group. These are a bunch of Mormon ass bitches, Mormon ass moms who make TikToks together. And then as a result of that, yes, of course, like, the show goes back to Taylor and the swinging scandal and protect Taylor at all costs. But these people don't really, there's no depth in these relationships. Because if that's really your friend, you're not going to do that. If you know what she's going through, you're not going to publicly put her on blast when she's in the darkest spot of her life. For what? You know, like, her mental health was on the line and they just wanted to prove her wrong. I'm like, what the fuck for? She, okay, she stretched the truth. Y'all are acting like she did some real, like, if this is the biggest of your problems, and this is what I think, Demi just is on a high horse. This chick just really let the fan favorite and all of that get to her head. And she's like, I want answers. I want to. Who are you? Girl, you are not the judge, jury, or executioner. Please exit stage left. And she got hers because karma got her ass. So Macy has a segment, not even a segment. She has on her Instagram a thing she does on Sundays, Sinner Sundays. And basically, people send in anonymous things that they send, you know. Coming clean. I'm coming clean. And she got a cheating rumor about Demi's husband, Brett. Someone wrote in, I slept with Brett when Demi was away. And I said, ooh, karma is a cat purring on my lap because it loves me. I'm saying, okay. And oh, honestly, my favorite part of the whole season was when Demi and her husband were having that conversation after the cheating rumor came out, and they posted that screenshot of like, the camera stopped rolling, but the audio kept going. Oh, things like that, and I'm hard. Oh my God. Moments like that. Oh, get a bucket and a mop for this wet ass pussy. Oh my God. And they're essentially fighting about, like, the way he's reacting after she tells him about this and his level of defensiveness. Girl, the call is coming from Maury Povich, okay? It's giving cheater girl. The entire explanation that they kept, like, that he kept saying was like, I would never do that to you. I would never do that to you. You believe me, right? I would never do that to you. I would never do that to you. But when she initially heard it, she's just like, oh no, like, we're together all the time. It also made me go, that's interesting that that's the thing she said versus, like, Brett would never do that to me. I have full trust in him and our relationship. I don't believe that confession. And I mean, I know it's literally semantics, but, like, she's like, we're together 24/7. And I mean, second favorite moment of the season, Michaela's husband, they're sitting at the table after the bake-off, and he says he only needs 2 minutes. And I don't know. I just feel like you guys are like, oh, we're together 24/7. I feel like that's fucking weird. I'm sorry. I don't ever want to be around anybody 24/7. You're like, oh, we have an amazing relationship. We're so obsessed with each other. He's my best friend. I just want to be with him all the time. I'm like, it's high key turning into, like, I'm not allowed to be without him. I don't know. And then there's the whole Vanderpump Villa of it all. I don't know if you guys have watched Vanderpump Villa. I know I've talked about it before, but essentially the Mormon wives went to Vanderpump Villa on the second season. And, you know, there's a moment when Demi is talking to Marciano and she's kind of reflecting on her and Brett's relationship. And she's saying, you know, I mean, my husband and I, like, he got the runaround from me. I can't tell you how many times I threatened to divorce him, the age gap, all these things. And it's just a completely different version of events than what she typically has to say. When she heard that cheating rumor, that was not the same shit that she was saying. That was not the same rhetoric that she was repeating. Okay. And, you know, she was so much talking on this season about the ketamine therapy and how that's been so helpful for them. And I don't know, something's off there. It's very, very weird. And also, like, between his reaction and even his face, like they did a tight close up on his face when she's talking about this rumor. And girl, it's giving guilty. It is giving guilty. Insert gavel. Guilty. And yeah, I just can't believe that the show ended on that note. You know, like Layla Marciano having this conversation, and he's basically like, it's not even Demi, like, that's a rumor. Layla's like, okay, what about the Jesse? You know, because there's a rumor that Jesse and Marciano's on Vanderpump Villa, that they were making out at Tom Tom. And Marciano's basically like, yeah, and it was a lot more than that. Like, it was a full fledged affair. And that's kind of the cliffhanger that we're left on. And going back to the Vile Files interview with Jesse and Michaela, Nick's wife, Natalie, asked Jesse, like, if her daughter were to bring home someone like her husband, would she approve? And she said no. And I was like, oh, well, that's very telling. I think it just doesn't get discussed, like the age gaps within this friend group. You know, like I said, Jen is 25 years old. Demi and Jesse are 30, 32. Taylor, they're all different ages. And I just feel like as the older person in the friend group, you should just be give younger people more grace. They're not capable of making those decisions yet. So you should be that person for them. And I don't know. It just reminded me of high school. It was giving middle school, even. Oh, they're just so immature. And even Macy, I'd say Macy and Michaela are the most mature, and there's still so much immaturity there. And oh, I need season three, like now. Well, maybe after Love Island is done, but I need it so bad. I feel like I could go on a mission. Like, I know so much about Mormon culture. I have a PhD in it, and it just, oh, I can't, it's just so crazy. If you guys haven't watched it, I truly recommend, because it is tea. So we're gonna do some quick dishes. I'm going to say that my appetizer this week was Mission Impossible. It's such a fun franchise. I really love it. Tom Cruise doing his own stunts. He's crazy. That little Scientologist be flipping that thing. He's just wild. And I had such a good time. They're just really enjoyable. I'll miss that franchise. It ended like, and it was really fun. I really, really enjoyed it. It's just a good kickoff to the summer movie season that we are in for. And then I'm gonna say my main course was Pee-wee as himself. Oh my fucking God. So I loved Pee-wee growing up. Big Pee-wee Herman fan. I got so much of my eccentric, kooky, like colorfulness from him, you know, watching those reruns. It was ahead of my time, but they were always playing those reruns. And that movie, oh my God, I just loved it so much. And just seeing Paul Rubens as himself, learning so much about him and the sacrifices he made, it's really so fucking insane. This man literally gave up everything. He said, I don't need a relationship. I don't need a partner. I don't really need anything. I am really diving into this character. And it also was a bit of a shield in a way to protect people from knowing him, Paul. And it really was so fascinating and heartbreaking, just the way the media was so quick to turn on him. And it really broke my heart. And I'm so glad and grateful that they had all this footage before he died, because I would have never known anything about this. Like, I was already so heartbroken when he passed away. And then just seeing this, I appreciated him even more, just truly for the sacrifices that this man made for children, you know, for children's TV, for our entertainment. And oh my gosh, you guys, it's really, for anyone who is creative, it is so inspiring just to see that, like, he was not signed. He didn't have an agent. He didn't have a manager until he was already going on David Letterman as Pee-wee without having any help. And Pee-wee started as a live show and became what it is. It's just so fucking cool. And it really just invigorated me to keep doing what I'm doing, because as long as you believe in it and keep putting in the work, it's gonna resonate with someone, truly. And yeah, RIP Paul Rubens, Pee-wee as himself. It's on HBO Max. It's a two-part documentary. Cannot recommend enough. Even if you're not creative and you just wanna see the lore of Pee-wee and Paul, it's truly, I gave it 5 stars. It's one for the books. I really, really loved it. And then my dessert is going to be Friendship. Friendship, Tim Robinson, Paul Rudd. It's so funny. If you love Tim Robinson and kooky eccentric comedy, then you're gonna love it. I was probably so annoying in the movie theater because I was laughing so much. Like, it's not like a, you know, hee hee ha ha. It's like the most awkward, goofy things, but it's so Tim. You know, and I just feel almost, yeah, I feel proud for him, because I know, like, seeing him go from one season of SNL to Detroiters to I Think You Should Leave, and now this, it's just so him, and it's so funny, and I really loved it so much. I thought him and Paul Rudd had great chemistry. The cast, it's stacked. It's really so good. And yeah, I had a great time with my friends seeing Friendship, and I had a great time with you guys today. Thank you for listening to The Dish with Tish. Make sure you leave us a 5-star cute little review. Follow us on the Instagram, Substack, and we'll be back with another piping hot dish for you guys next week. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.